you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Proverbs. We're just going to look at two verses tonight. And then we're going to talk about leading souls to Christ. Outside of your walk with the Lord, it is the most important activity anyone can ever do. So Proverbs chapter number 11, two familiar verses, and we'll go from there. If we have time at the end, we may have a couple of questions. I don't know if we'll have any answers, but we'll try to have some time for some questions here. But here we are, Proverbs chapter 11. Interesting. This was written by Solomon long before soul winning was actually a church type thing. From time to time, people would talk about the Lord, but you don't hear that word winning souls until right here. So notice, please, Proverbs 11, looking down into verse number 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." We've heard about the fruit of the Spirit, and fruit comes natural. And then he says, "And he that winneth souls is wise." Now, what exactly does that mean? He that winneth souls is wise. It's not talking about winning something like, you know, you won a lottery or you won a prize. It's talking about persuading people, winning someone to the way you're thinking. And that is not done in our power. It is not salesmanship. We're presenting the truth and praying that the Holy Spirit wins them over to the winning side. Today I had a young man saved. I presented the gospel, and then I said, "Would you like this? Would you like to receive this gift?" He said, "I sure would." So the Lord actually wins the souls. We're the human voice. We don't win anybody. It's always Him. But notice what he says, "He that winneth souls is wise." So God uses people in this thing of soul winning. You know, if He wanted to, the Lord could actually paint in the sky, in the clouds, the plan of salvation so people could look up and see it. But He's chosen to use people. One time there was a man in John 5 that's at the pool, and all he had to do was get in that pool to be healed. And Scripture says, Jesus says, "So why aren't you healed?" Here's what he said, "Sir, I have no man. I have no man when the pool is stirred to put me in." And so God always uses a human instrument. You'll never see anyone that ever got saved that God did not use a human somewhere to get them a gospel tract or the gospel somehow. It's just the way God is. So let's pray, then we'll look at one other verse. Father, bless this time we have now. Help us to be wrapped around these truths and be teachable and see something that would help us be better at presenting the gospel clearer. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we go. Let's look back just a few pages to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, a very famous chapter in the Bible, and it's talking about the captivity that the nation of Israel went through. We're not going to go through all of that, but we're just going to look at the last two verses, if you would. Psalms 126 and verse number 5. And by the way, this was the great evangelist, John R. Rice, his life's verse. Anytime he signed the Bible, he'd sign his name and these two verses. Here's what it says. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. "They that sow in tears." So what he's saying about soul winning is this: we're not the only ones. They. So when we're witnessing on Saturday morning, or maybe you're going out on a Thursday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, or you have a partner and you're knocking doors or giving out tracts, realize this: you're not the only one. There's people in all the countries around the world. There's missionaries. There's people smuggling the gospel in. There's people on bus routes. There's someone in every state in America. Every day there's somebody trying to give the gospel to someone. We're in a great crowd of laborers. He says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Now what's that mean? He's saying when you have burdens, and whether you're weeping outwardly or weeping inwardly, he says, you still sow. What is the seed? It's the Word of God. You say, well, I've got problems. You still need to sow the Word of God. That's part of the cure. If we all waited till we have no debt, no problems, no pressures, everything's going great to tell others about Christ, no one would ever be told about Christ. It seems like some of the greatest soul winners I've ever known had the greatest problems of anybody I've ever known. But guess what they did? They sowed while they had their own tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, notice the go comes before the weeping here. Someone says, Pastor, I just don't have a burden for souls. Hey, join the crowd. I don't either. When I get up Saturday morning or when I go out tomorrow afternoon, I won't be weeping. I won't have a burdened heart till I get out and start seeing people. The go always comes before the burden. Why? He says, my eye affects my heart. And that's what God says. And then he says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, doing what? Bearing precious seed. That's God's word. It's got to be precious to us. If the Bible's not important and precious to us, how are we going to make it precious to them? Shall doubtless, here's his promise, come again with rejoicing. So there's God's promise. I spend time sharing the gospel. I'm coming home with some joy. Whether the person got saved or they didn't get saved, I'm going to have more joy when I come home than when I left. And then he says, bringing his sheaves with him. You sow enough seed, there's going to be someone get saved. You sow enough seed, there'll be someone eventually show up at church. It just happens. It's a principle. Seed produces a crop. Now, just some fill in the blanks here. Some is review. Some will be brand new. I hope you'll jot down some notes if you do have a pen. Number one, schedule your soul winning time. Schedule your soul winning time. We are all to be soul winners all the time. But sometimes we're going to get busy where it's always a track at a drive-thru. It's a track in a bill. It's a track with a tip. It's a track to the newspaper boy or the mailman or mailwoman. But it ought to be some time that's scheduled where this is my time. When I was in Bible college, I had classes Monday through Friday. And then I worked evenings, got home about 11. And so all I had was Saturday. And so Saturday, it was 9 till 9 for me. That was my time. It was only 12 hours. That's all I put in. But soul winning time, bus route time was 9 to 9. So that's study in the week. That was my time. When I came here, it was Monday nights and then Tuesday mornings and Tuesday nights. And then it was Wednesday during the day and then it was Thursday. So I had those times scheduled. Right now it is Wednesday, several hours. Thursday, several hours. Saturday, several hours. So that's my scheduled time. If I went soul winning when I got to it, I'd never get to it. Paul Chappell says this, what gets scheduled gets done. And that's a great, great thing. We schedule dentist appointments. The dentist never says, just show up when you can't. You know, if you get to it, just show up. We schedule doctor's visits. We schedule tax appointments to do our income tax. Schedule your soul winning time. Number two, here we are. I know it's maybe not as exciting. I do have an illustration at the end. The go always comes before the burden. We mentioned that earlier. You say, Pastor, I just don't have a burden for souls. I don't weep. I don't feel anything. There's no heaviness in my heart. It'll come. Number three, begin with friends and relatives. Begin with friends and relatives. Okay, let's think of someone in the New Testament. You help me. He brought his brother to Christ. He brought a relative to Christ. Who was that? Andrew. Who did he bring? Simon Peter. He brought a relative to Christ. And oft times it's that way. Rahab the harlot, it was her family. Cornelius, the family. Began with friends and relatives. Years ago, we had a new convert here, and I asked him to be my partner. I said, okay, here we go. We got in the car. He said, where are we going? I said, to your relatives. I said, bring me to your relatives. He said, okay. We had five of his relatives accept Christ that night. I mean, uncle, aunt, cousin, brother, sister, those type relatives. Two of them came for about 10 years. They got baptized. Relatives. That's who you want to start with. This fellow got saved today. He had been raised in the Philippines. Mom's Filipino. Dad is black. And he's studying for his nurse's exam. He's taking the board exam. Real nice guy. And he said, yeah, he said, I'd like to hear this. We sat down, went through the gospel. And as soon as he got saved, I said, I wonder if all your friends have heard this. And he said, that's what I was thinking when I was praying. Have all my friends heard this? I've never done this before. I hit him on the arm. I said, tag, you're it. I said, tag, you're it. He looked. He said, I get it. I said, you're the one to tell those relatives and those friends about Christ. The greatest soul winners are not people who've been saved 40 and 50 years. It's those who've been saved a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Guess why? They know where the sinners are. You find someone that's been saved 20, 30 years, coming to this church 20 or 30 years. Hey, you know anyone unsaved? No. Either they've won them all or pushed them all away. They don't want to be around you. The greatest bird dogs are those who know where those... So that's a great thing. Number four, be soul conscious. Be soul conscious. D.L. Moody said this, everyone has a S or a L written on their forehead. Saved, lost. They're not just a newspaper boy. It's not just a neighbor. It's not just a teenager on a bike. They're all saved or lost. When the Titanic had that famous wreck, people were waiting at the dock, and they said there's been a wreck, and they're wondering who got rescued. They started posting names, and all they said was saved, lost. Every name, saved, lost. And everyone on this planet, saved, lost. And that's how we need to see people. They're a soul that Jesus died for. Be soul conscious. Number four, be clean and neat. We're not talking about if you're at work, you're painting, well, I got to go home, take a shower before I witness to you. But we're talking about when you're going out on your organized time. If you're going door to door, you don't want to look like you just got off work. You want to wear what we called, and I was talking to someone Sunday, your Sunday go to meeting clothes. It's what they used to call them, the Sunday go to meeting clothes. And church is not all about clothing. Christianity's not all about clothing. But when you're doing something important, you want to dress up to do it, not dress down. In other words, someone passes away, you say, well, they're not there, I know. But in respect, you probably don't want to come in flip-flops and cutoffs at the funeral. So when we're representing the King of Kings, you want to dress up. I cannot say ties are scriptural. Jesus never had a tie, thank the Lord. So I can't say you have to wear a tie, but I know this. As a seventh grader, I wore a tie when I went soul winning. More people listened to me. It looked like I was on business. I looked a little older with a tie. And if that helped someone get to heaven, I'd rather dress up more than dress down more. And so enough said on that. Number six, I believe. Carry a pocket New Testament and tracts. Carry a pocket New Testament and tracts. And again, we are not ashamed of the Bible, but we want to be wise. When you're carrying a great big family Bible with the picture of Jesus on it, they see you coming a mile away. You want to have that pocket Bible, a concealed carry permit. So we as Christians, we have concealed carry permits. You can conceal that Bible in a purse. You can conceal it in your back pocket. You don't want them to know who you are. I was walking past a house today. A man was on a bicycle with his son. And I was walking toward the house. He goes, no, we don't want it. I said, we don't want it. And I just kept going. It's okay. And all I had was tracks. And so sometimes they're going to assume who you are. Number next, carry a pen and paper or a cell phone to take notes. You say, what's that about? it's someone says, I'd really like to hear this, but now's not a good time. And now you're jotting down an address. Okay, let's find out. Let's confess. Who's ever meant to go back and see someone and you couldn't find their house again? I've been there. It's like, I think it's in Vallejo. It's a green house in Vallejo. Really? Good. Good luck on that one. Was it upstairs or downstairs? Was it apartment E? There's 20 apartment E's in this building. You're going to have to write that thing down. We've got to be organized. Can you imagine a heart surgeon starting to do surgery and it was supposed to be a leg amputated? You know, he just kind of mixed up. He forgot to write it down. We want to be more organized than any surgeon could ever be. A pen and paper. You say, Pastor, man, I thought I was going to learn something tonight. Well, hang on. You may in a few minutes. Number eight, when possible, go two by two. When possible. And again, we've got some people in the church that's like, I don't need any partner. Man, I want to do all the talking. And I'm glad for that. You hit that side, I'll hit this side. But when possible, here's the advantage. If you have a partner, they run interference. So about the time the Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, they can entertain him. About the time the baby starts crying, the dog starts barking, there's someone to help keep things quiet. And so that's what the silent partner does. Number next, go with a variety of partners. Don't always go with the same partner. You help me. You probably got this thing figured out. You know why? Because the more you know someone, the more you talk. The more you know someone, the more you cut up. And pretty soon you're knocking on the door soul winning and you're laughing. Let me finish this story in just a minute. It's not really about the visiting. It's more about the fellowship. And so you want to go with different people. Not people who are different, but different people. We've never been together. You know, let's go. And that's what you want to do. Hear about them. Hear their story. Learn from them. Go with a variety of people. Number next, claim the Holy Spirit's power. We could do a whole Bible study on this tonight. Again, soul winning is not a masterful sales pitch. Soul winning is not, how do I get them to say they're going to hell and pray the prayer and chalk them up as a soul saved. We want to be yielding to the Holy Spirit, asking Him, fill us, speak through me, make it clear, convict the person, help them understand what I'm saying. You want to claim that. And that's why it's important to have a season of prayer before you even go out soul winning. If you know what day you're going, make that a matter of prayer every day. Lord, you know I'm going out Saturday morning at 10. Would you prepare the hearts? Show me which street to go on. Start working on them now. Help them to be home. Fill me. Forgive me of sin. Help my mind to be clean. Help my words to be just what they need to hear. Show me what side of the street. Connect me with something I've got an interest with. When I met the guy from the Philippines, I said, what island? He said, the main island right there in Luzon. So we got to talk about different islands he had been on. I've been on islands where he had relatives. He played basketball in college. I used to have a Bible study in the college dorm there at LSU. So it was a little bit of connection there. So that's the Holy Spirit's power. He is speaking on the inside when we're just speaking on the outside. And if you've ever witnessed or taught a lesson or preached a sermon, the old saying, you know when you got it and you know when you don't. There's nothing lonelier than trying to lead a soul to Christ when it's just you talking. And you know it's not the Lord talking. It's just you. It's just words falling. And then you know when you start to witness and these words flow and a verse flows and it's like, where did all that come from? That's when you know He showed up. So you want to ask, the Holy Spirit wants people saved more than we do. You just have to ask Him to come along and invite Him and welcome Him. Number 11, go expecting results. One pastor used to say this, don't come back till you get one. And I understand what he was saying. He was saying, be looking for opportunities, because in an hour, there's bound to be someone you meet that's unsaved that maybe God's been working on. What else? Number 11, be complimentary and folksy. Now, for people in the Deep South, this comes more naturally. It's just how they are. They speak to strangers, they talk, they wave. West Coast, it's, what do you want? I don't know you. Why are you speaking to me? You know, you walk down the sidewalk, they walk down the other one. You know, it's not the natural friendliness, but that's what you want. You want it to be almost like you're a neighbor dropping by to say hello. We're not in business. Hello, my name is this. We're from Hopewell Baptist Church. It can't be a tape recording. There's got to be some, and I know, COVID, people opening the door, all the demonstrations, burglaries. I know it's a different day. But somehow we're going to meet someone where that smile makes them drop their guard. And we compliment their yard, compliment their car. What a boat, brother. What's the biggest fish you ever caught? Now we're complimenting. What a car. Wow, look at that. People like you bragging on their stuff. They like you bragging on their house. They like compliments. They like it when you're a little bit folksy. All right, let's keep going with this. Number next, you say, well, I don't like people's houses and I don't like their kids. Okay, I understand. I knocked on one door several years ago. They had Raider flags. When the Raiders, I was still in town, and the Raider flags, and as soon as they opened the door, I just said, Raiders! And they said, yeah, Raiders! They said, you're a Raider fan? I said, no, but they practice in my town. You live in Napa? Yeah. Come on in. What are you doing in our neighborhood? I just said one word. These days, I knock on the door, they open the door, I say, marijuana! And they say, yeah, it's all over our house. Come on in. I smell it almost at every house. And if you've done any door-to-door, you smell it all the time. And usually that's the people that say, oh, yeah, we go to such and such Baptist church in Fairfield. It's always the churchgoers. Be complimentary. Be folksy. And again, sometimes people are just going to be in a hurry. You can't do any of these things. They're going to open the door. What do you want? We're busy. Here, thanks. That's it. That's all you get. Know when to just hand it and leave. And God's just going to have to give you wisdom on that. Number next, be wise about going in. Be wise about going in. Never go in if you're alone and it's the opposite gender. Never go in if you sense any danger or weirdness. And you'll learn the hard way. I knocked on a door one time. Come in! It's cars everywhere. Just opened the door, walked right in, and there's some real rough-looking guys. In kind of a semicircle, they had a table that was stacked some money. Stacks of white powder, kind of dividing the white powder up. There were these little baggies. I walked right in. And they said, who are you? I said, I'm the pastor. You said, come in, and I'm in, and I'm busy. I got to go. Man, I was out of there. So anytime there's a caution in your heart, you just don't go in. If the family's arguing and cussing, it sounds like someone's going to go through the window. It's probably not a opportune time. Leave. Come back. If they've got a pit bull and there's human remains in the front yard, and they've got a German Shepherd and a Great Dane and one of those Mastiff dogs, you may just leave the cart on the fence or something. You don't have to be a martyr. I've leaped over two fences. I didn't have my cape on, but I leaped over two different fences. I don't like getting bit. It's just me. I don't know. Number 13. Be interested, but not too interested. And again, a lot of this just comes with experience. Oh, nice to see you. How many kids do you have? I'm just 12. Sometimes you miss it. Oh, good to see you, sir. Nice to meet you. Is this your mother? It's my wife. Man, I've stuck my foot in my mouth many a time. You misjudge ages, misjudge who people are, and the more you talk, the deeper it gets, and you want to be interested, but not too interested. Hi, nice to meet you. Where do you work? Are you on welfare? Hi, nice house. Were y'all smoking pot? You know, there's some things you just don't have to say. And you don't have to ask. Be interested, not too interested. I see demons all over, not floating in the air, those demon statues. And so when I come to a house, it's got a demon statue, or maybe it's got a Buddha statue. I'll always just say in my heart, Lord, bind these demons as we knock on the door. Why? Because there's a demon presence. And so if you're soul winning alone, you got a lot of prayer time, a lot of time to talk to the Lord. If you're with a partner, you can pray silently, quickly. Once the question is asked, this is if it's two people, once someone asks, if you died today, would you go to heaven? The other one stops talking. You never want soul winning to be tag team like this fake wrestling that they have on television. You know, one guy jumps in, he starts beating on the guy, he tags the other guy, he jumps in, his mother-in-law jumps in the ring. It's just, you don't want that. It doesn't need to be. And another thing, and here's the next verse, and tell him about that. No, one person does the talking once you're into the presentation. Number 15, stay on the subject. Stay on the subject. It's like if you're fighting a fish and you've got that fish, don't start throwing other lines in the water. Just concentrate on that fish. You don't have to tell them if you voted Republican or Democrat. You don't have to talk about the mask mandate. You don't have to tell them if you're vaccinated or not. You don't have to tell them which governor you're voting for, or you're voting one out, voting one in, or voting in a new person. That's not the time. You just want to stay on the subject. I was with a couple of pastors this year that live in Texas, and for a season they raised blue tick hound dogs. And that's a big thing in the Deep South, hunting raccoons. And they have tournaments. And the winners of the hunts, whoever gets the biggest raccoon, they win trucks. And they win shotguns and cash. And I mean, it's a very, very lucrative business. Well, this one blue tick hound dog sold for $56,000 as a puppy. $56,000. Famous line of dogs. What's a blue tick do? It only chases raccoons. It won't chase a skunk, a possum, a deer, a rabbit. When it smells that, it doesn't get on the trail. Only raccoons. And that's how we ought to be, like a blue tick hound dog. It ought to be, if you died today, would you go to heaven? We don't know. Here we are, Romans 3:23. Well, what about the Mormons? That's a good question. But Romans 3:23 says this. What about the Jehovah's Witnesses? Oh, that's a good question. But let's finish this. Now. Just stay on track. And you'll find all those strange questions they asked you, they'll forget all about them by the time you finish. You can't be chasing those rabbit trails, because then they're going to say, man, you said this is only going to take 5 minutes. We've been here 30 minutes because you're chasing all the rabbits. Stay on track. All we're trying to do is show them how to be saved. That's it. We're not talking about anything else. You know, break the ice, but once you're in the plan, get on it. Because you've only got so much time. All the demons of hell are being notified. So-and-so's about to get saved. Hurry up. Call him. Text him. Drop by. Get in your car. Go see him. That's why oft times when you're witnessing, cell phones go off, babies start crying, people start, police helicopter, come out with your hands up. You know, it starts circling the neighborhood. All of that happens. When they pray and receive Christ, it's silent. It's done. Demons, we lost him. Now let's go to this neighborhood. It's kind of how it happens. Number 16, quickly. Be a good listener, but not too good. God did not call us to go into all the world and listen to people. How was soul winning tonight? We spent an hour and a half listening to this lady's surgeries. Was she saved? Yes, she's already saved, but she told us about all these surgeries. So 168 hours we have during the week. That's all we have. It's hard enough just to get out the door. That's the hardest part of witnessing. All right, I'm finally going. I got my tracks. Okay, here we go. Then if you're not careful, we spend it all on someone that's never going to come. Be a good listener, but not too good. What's that mean? In the notes here, conserve your time. Conserve your time. In other words, be careful about wasting those precious minutes that you have. So here we are. I'm not trying to be rude on this, but one, avoid time wasters. There are some people you'll meet out soul winning who are saved or who don't even want to hear anything you have to say, but they're talkers. Oh, what do you think about this? Oh, and did you see my turnips? And they won't let you get a word in edgewise. Oh yeah, we're from the church. I know, but you can't sit there 30 minutes. It just, sometimes you're going to look rude and say, look, my preacher's going to kill me if we stay at one house this long. You said you're not interested, but here's the track. We got to go. You cannot just sit there and waste all that time. If you've ever had a visit like that, and I have, you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit saying, man, there's a whole street to hit, and you're sitting here just hearing and here, and they won't let you talk. Okay, just a thought there. You say, you're talking about me, Pastor. That's how I am. No. But avoid time wasters. Number two, avoid the lonelies. The lonelies. That's probably not even a word. Now, by that, that's the person that never gets any visits. And I'm not saying be rude, but you cannot sit there and hear an hour of pictures of grandchildren. And then, well, that's the grandchildren. Now for the surgeries. Well, they cut that toe off in 1932. And then the knee, now it's all the surgeries. And then it's all the jobs they've had. Again, come back on your own time. Come back when you have several hours to just sit there and listen. But once a person says, I've already been saved, I've already got a church, you don't want to just sit there and listen to all the stories. And you're not being rude. I'm just saying, their neighbor next door is probably ready to get saved, but you're never going to get to them. Number three, avoid the cults. Avoid the cults. Who's got a track on you? Mine's not in my Bible here. Okay? Jason, you got one? Brother. Pass that up. Jeremiah, pass that. Hey, right behind you. Grab it. Look. Okay. Here we go. Here, hand me a track. Quick. I need to get saved in Spanish. Hurry. Okay, thanks so much. Great. So here's what I do. I knock on the door. Hi, we're giving out Jose cartoons, inviting people to church. We're a part of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Church. That's Mormons. Really? I don't ask, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I always ask, how long have you been in that? Oh, we've been going, we're third generation. I've been going my whole life, 30 years. Wow. Here's our church track. Hope to see you sometime. That's what I do. Now, you can do what you want to with that. Because they're going to say, you guys have the wrong Bible. You don't believe the real gospel. You don't believe in the true God. Say, they know all they believe. I may give my testimony if they'll let me. I'm not going to sit down and them say, let's take your Bible. You take our Bible, and we're going to show you why there's no hell. We're going to show you why Jesus and the devil were brothers. And we're going to show you this, and we're going to show. Now you've wasted an hour. You are not going to win a Mormon door to door who's been in their church all those years in 5 minutes. You may win one who you work with, who watches your life, and you give them a truth, give them more truth, give them something to read. Share the gospel, share it again, give you testimony. That's not going to happen in 5 minutes. That's a relationship. That's going to be a battering ram. That's going to take a lot of talks. It's like a Muslim, someone from Islam. You're not going to lead them to Christ in 5 minutes. Hello, oh, you're Islam? Well, here's what you need to do to be saved. No, they don't even believe what we're talking about. They've never heard of a God of love. They believe the Quran, not the Bible. It's going to take more time than that. So that's what I do. If they're Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, I'll say, how long have you been attending? Our whole life for 25 years? Let me give you this. Hope to see you sometime. It's what I do. You do what you want to. But it's not a successful night when you come back and say, Pastor, we spent an hour and a half. We let them Jehovah's Witnesses have it. Did you win them to the Lord? No. But man, hour and a half. You could have hit a whole street of people that wanted to hear it by then. Be careful not to preach and share all your knowledge. Because God says this, cast not your pearls, that's time, before the swine. You don't want to waste your time. You only have so much time. Be careful. Be careful. Don't take the bait. I was visiting off of Pine Street, off of Coombs years ago. Several sharp-looking guys were there. They didn't have name tags on. But they said, we were just talking about the Bible and the end of the world. I said, really? Could we ask you some things? I said, wow, look at this. Come on in. I came in. I said, you guys have a church? They said, no, we don't have a church. They lied. Well, how about Armageddon? What is that? I took the bait. I answered their questions. I started getting in the gospel, and they said, we just took 45 minutes of your time. We go to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we tied up all your time so you couldn't share this with other people. They felt no guilt about lying to me, misrepresenting, no, we don't have a church, but I took the bait. You say, you just want to be careful about that. Now, you may be the person, you win every Mormon, you win every Islam person in 5 minutes. You're a better soul winner than anybody I've ever met. Conserving your time. Now, quickly, letter D, avoid lots of time with Christians. I'm not talking about on your own time. I'm talking about when you're out soul winning. So here it is. Let's say I'm out witnessing and I knock on Jason's door. And he goes, man, I've been saved. How long? 15 years. Wow, that's great. What's your favorite Bible verse? He tells me. What's your favorite song? Do you listen to Caleb? Do you listen to KVNB? I can't even say it. KVNBC. Who's your favorite evangelist? Now, man, we're just fellowshipping because we have a lot in common. I've been there 30 minutes. He's not lost. He's got a church. We're enjoying this. But man, I'm trying to reach the lost, and instead I'm fellowshipping with the saved. I can always come back, meet him for coffee. You kind of follow what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you have a negative visit, no one's interested, and it's refreshing to meet a Christian, but I'll say, hey, you got a church already? You got good. See you in heaven. I'll talk to you later. Number next, avoid winning doubters to the Lord again. Avoid winning doubters to the Lord again. What does that mean? It means this. If the person maybe got saved years ago and has dropped out of church, if they're not in church, they're probably not living a great Christian life. So now they're maybe doing some things that they shouldn't, so now they've lost their joy. And they're not going to have assurance of their salvation. They don't feel saved. And so you're going to ask them, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And they're going to say, I don't know. You're going to take 20 minutes, giving them the scriptures, and then guess what they're going to say? You ready? I already did that. I've already done that. So now you took 20 minutes showing a saved person how to get saved again. So here's what I'll do. So let's say, Jason, have you gone to church before? Uh-huh. So if you died today, where would you go? I don't know. Okay, here's what I do. So what kind of church were you raised in? Baptist. How long did you go? 20 years. So you went till you were like 20 or something like that? Wow. Then if it's Baptist or maybe non-denominational, I'll say, did you get saved in that church? Oh, okay. How old were you? 5. Wow. And I'll ask, so where were you? And did you ever doubt it since then? Okay, now I know. It's not my job to give him assurance of his salvation. I don't want to give anybody assurance. I want to tell the lost how to get saved. And if a guy is backslidden, he needs to feel lost. It may help him get back right with the Lord and get to church. So I won't ask a Catholic, so is that the church you got saved at? Because now I'm putting words in their mouth. Oh yeah, I got baptized as a baby and now it's just a mess. If they weren't raised or went a long time, okay? Now I'm not going to tell that story. That person's here tonight. Okay, let's just keep going here. Number 17, don't talk too fast. Some of you speak slow. Others of you, you speak very fast and excitedly. You want to slow down. Slow down. Talk like Moses. Slow of speech. Number 18, do not use confusing words. If you're one of these people who's got a huge vocabulary, you want to bring it down. Bring the jelly down to the bottom shelf. We're not soul winning to impress. We're soul winning to see people get saved. So I would not use words like justification. We're out trying to help people understand the doctrine of justification. What? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Yep, fell out of a boat one time years ago as God dove in. Saved. Look, those are all confusing words. And so that's why you want to use, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Quickly, what else? Don't have silent spots. And by that we mean as you're witnessing, so that's the first thing. Now the second thing is, so you're talking the whole time. It's right here. Here's the verse. It says. Now the third thing, so you're always talking. You're not having blank spots like, now that's the first thing. Now the second, now it's like he doesn't even know what he's talking about. When I was a kid, they had this emergency broadcasting test on television. We'd watch television all night long, it seemed. And they would say, this is a test. Only you old timers would remember. For the next 30 seconds, this is a test of the broadcasting network. This is not an emergency. It's just a test. And we would sit there just scared to death. Beep. And we thought the end of the world had happened. Silence scares people. So you keep talking as you're witnessing. Now that's the second verse. Now the third verse, and if you're lost, you're really going to like this third verse. Because it's right before the last one. And I love this third verse. It's in the Bible somewhere. And so, you know, you're talking. No silent spots. Quickly. Don't witness to children if parents not home. It's just the way it is today. They don't know you. And number 21, don't stay too long. So you're witnessing, you take them through the gospel, wrap it up, get them to commit to come, get out of there. You don't want them to stay. The guy said he was staying 5 minutes. He's been here an hour. Get out of there. Don't stay too long. And last, do not end with a negative visit. Someone says, someone asked me yesterday, Saturday, can you not read? You know, they're pointing to that I can't say that word. It says no, and then it starts with an S. And my smart aleck mind, you know, it's thinking of 100 things to say. No, can you read it for me? No, so, what's the rest of this? Come out here, show me. No, so. I just have to keep my mouth shut. Find another door, find someone that's open. It may take 2 or 3 more doors. Thank you for coming. We just moved to town. Thank you for this. We're going to think about this. Now you're ready to go home. Never end. You get bit by a dog, don't go home. You get pushed down a flight of stairs, don't go home. But you want to end with a positive visit. And someone said this, it's true. I'm looking for the one that's looking for me. So there's someone who is searching that when you give them a track or try to witness, they're going to be open. And it may take you a month. But when you lead someone to Christ or get someone to church, that's, boy, those 4 Saturdays or those 4 Thursdays sure was worth it. Look at this. Look what God has done. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. Somebody's waiting. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.